This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
But right now in the studio, we have a very special guest. If I was going to do the whole formal introduction, it would go something like, born and raised in Miami, Florida. He's a self-confessed pop fanatic who's written and performed pop music from an early age, but he got recognised for his musicality and talent and went on to attend New York University as an undergraduate. He basically went and was a complete overachiever and actually released a whole bunch of classical albums before deciding that, excuse me, pop is where I want to be. Welcome to the studio, Beerfield.
Thank you.
Fantastic to have you in the studio.
Yeah,
I think. Have you actually been at Joy before? I think you have actually been here once before, haven't you?
No.
It's all been on the phone.
Yeah. I've had a phone interview, but this is my first proper time in Melbourne, actually.
Welcome to Melbourne.
Thank you. It is
really great to have you. It's been a bit of a journey for you and for us with you and your pop music over the last 12 months. So it's definitely lovely to have you in and in person and live.
Absolutely.
For our audience, though, some people, despite the fact that we try to tell people a story whenever we're introducing a song, some people may not know the whole story about you and where you've come from. You were an established artist as a classical singer.
Yeah.
And you actually have a pretty impressive range when it comes to singing, yeah?
Yeah. Well, actually, I debut recital was in Lincoln Center in opera, and so that was kind of what I was doing. And I came here with a buddy of mine, and Sony actually asked me to do an album. And at first I thought it was going to be something kind of, you know, classical or something like that. And so I ended up actually writing Frequency, which was kind of the thing. And Sony heard this and they were like, oh man, we have to release this song. We're loving this song. Like, we have to put this out there. So I kind of started this whole thing, but completely from scratch and having no idea what to expect, you know, or what exactly I was doing really. So we started and of course the whistle tones and Frequency were totally by chance too, you know?
Yeah.
I just sang them one day and a friend of mine was like, that's the most amazing thing ever. Like, you have to do that.
So you actually have a 5-octave range that goes potentially into a 6-octave with the whistle.
Yeah.
Whistle pieces.
Yeah.
And that's what you did on your debut single, Frequency, debut pop single, Frequency.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you came to Australia in what, 2014, 2013, 2014?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, 2014 was pretty much when I first came. Then 2015 was when, you know, everything kind of came together.
But Sony noticed you here in Australia, yeah?
In 2014 was when they noticed me, and I didn't actually start properly sign until 2015.
Okay. Yeah. And I know that I actually only saw it for the first time that you did one of the morning shows on Channel 7 a couple of years ago. And you did a Fleetwood Mac cover.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I happen to be a huge, massive Fleetwood Mac fan.
Sweet.
And I have to say, pretty amazing cover of Rhiannon at the time. Was that part of the process of is that something that, you know, was helped that situation with getting your notice with Sony?
Yeah, I definitely say so. I mean, the concert was... I kind of wanted to go for something that was like classical and then pop music, and I didn't want crossover in it. I kind of was trying, but I didn't really understand what pop music meant exactly. So, I mean, if you see this Rhiannon thing, you know, I'm singing it just like full on. Like, I mean, it's not necessarily classical singing per se, but it's something else. It lies, and it's not crossover, you know, it lies in its own, like, own little world.
It was very
genre.
It was you and a pianist. It was a beautiful rendition of Rhiannon.
Thank you.
And one of the things that's impressive about watching that video is I think most of the time the microphone is at least half a meter away.
From you.
So you, unlike someone, you know, a lot of singers will use the microphone and literally be a centimeter away from them.
They eat it.
You're projecting like massively.
Well, that tour I actually blew out two speakers. I mean, two microphones, like properly, like one at the Joan Sutherland Performing Arts Center in Penrith, and I just like busted that. And the second one, I can't remember what, you know, it's doing. I think. A cover of Great Gig in the Sky, Pink Floyd. Do you know that?
Yeah.
So Channel 7 told you back.
Yeah. And they just turned their knobs like completely down. So even the sound is a little like lowered on that thing just because they were terrified. Yeah. So, all right, pretty fun.
Beale Field is in the studio with us still. He is an American born. He's a New York classically trained. He's but he's Sydney based, well and truly. As a music director, I can tell you, I can assure you, he counts as Australian content, which is all that matters.
No, well, all the music is written here. You know, it's entirely Australian music. Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Now, I've got a whole range of questions I want to ask you. I'm going to go straight to the serious one now. Okay, so your frequency came across my desk just over a year ago.
Mm.
Yeah, and I was very impressed with the song right from the start. And you know, I'm always looking for Australian pop because it's actually a hard place to be to be in pop in Australia. But I have to say the other thing that happened for me straight away. And I hope you won't be offended. My gaydar went off big time.
Okay.
And I went, oh, wow. All right. But then, of course, we had around about maybe 11, 12 months of Sony Music protecting you, not wanting to speak for you.
Mm.
And, of course, as most artists, you wanted the music to speak for itself. So that wasn't what you wanted to be talking about. Until there was an article in Same about 3 weeks ago where it became very, very clear that you are family. Oh. So officially welcome to the out part of the music industry Australia.
Look, I was an opera singer from New York that like came to do pop music in Australia. I don't think it was ever a question.
Put the pieces together.
I'm a little shocked if anyone...
look, as I say, everyone was actually doing the right thing around you, and there was no way anyone would confirm or deny, and I think that's okay.
Well, it's interesting because I mean I never told anyone to not say anything either. Yeah. You know, I mean, because there were definitely some meetings about it. You know, when we spoke about it, and definitely Sony. You know, obviously they want to protect their artists. They're a family. You know, they're really a family, and I think. Look, I was asked some really serious questions in that same article, you know?
Yeah,
kind of question. I mean, it was really intense. And
you were asked to put words in Ricky Martin's mouth at one stage, well, and I like the fact that you didn't answer that.
Well, I couldn't. I was just like, well, I can't, you know, how can I speak for anyone else, right, except for myself? But, you know, look, it's the fact is obviously... It's difficult because you do want to reach everyone, you know. So how do you do that? How do you make it reaching everyone? But I think that if it really is about the music and if the music is good enough, that it will happen, you know. So never mind the rest of it, you know.
Talking about your music and of course the gay and lesbian community, though, we cannot go past the fact that big time Mardi Gras. Appearances this time around. We were at Mardi Gras. I was there. I was there for Tracy Young and Karina Iglesias. You were on backup with Karina for
yeah,
Same
yeah,
Love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Me and her did Same Love. Yeah,
which was amazing. And then of course we were at Daywash, and you performed at Daywash. Amazing costume.
Oh, thank you, Ashley Swift. You know Ashley Swift. He's in London and he does Kylie's outfits and such. And so I actually brought him here just to do that.
And we didn't get to Laneway, but I understand that you blew them away.
At Laneway. And then Arc, later that night. Later.
So you were very busy Mardi Gras weekend.
Yeah,
well done. And that, of course, was with Kings and Queens.
Yeah, Kings and Queens.
Which, you know, once again, I mean, you can't get any more suggestive than this song, well, can you?
I was just saying, you know, I was doing everything else but just waving the flag, like, in a video, just, like, standing there, you know? So I don't understand. But, look, I mean, it's about the music, right? Yeah. Like, if the music is cool enough and everyone has fun to the music or everyone enjoys it or it says something, I mean, it's just not about being gay. And I want to lead, you know, the new generation of people who don't really see those lines anymore, and we don't think of it in the same way, you know. If we connect, we connect. So,
all right, and well done on getting Tracy Young to remix.
She's
track,
amazing.
You know, it's like she's such an icon in terms of DJ producing. So,
absolutely.
Well done on that. Joy 94.9. The man himself is here with us, having a great time. Thank you for coming in again.
Thank you for having me.
The style of music, Kings and Queens, we've heard so far, Frequency, and the whole EP for Boom and Bust, it's all pop music, but it actually has a very distinct style of it. There's like, and I think maybe it's the music complements your voice, but there's like so many layers. There's synths. It's hard to even explain the number of layers that you can hear in the music. Was what inspired you to want that sort of sound for this EP?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You kind of just put it on the nail too. You know, like a lot of it, I had to write the music to kind of suit my voice, and the whole purpose of all these songs was trying to like bring in as much range as I could for each one of these tracks. And so in doing that, you ended up with layers. I mean, for me to go from, you know, 5 octaves inside of a song, I have to somehow allow the listener to like listen to something in the beginning that isn't just like horribly high and like screaming, you know. And as some of like the people on YouTube say, like, he ruins the song at like 2:20 or this sort of stuff, you know, which is of course like, you know, everyone has their, you know, Mariah Carey, you know, she's an icon and everyone has their opinion, you know, about the whistle tones and the whole deal, you know. But the fact is this was my play, you know. This was my like demo tape, you know. This is like I'm like 16 and I'm like, I'm making my demo, you know, so I can like go and blah blah, because this was it, you know. This was like the beginning of like my pop, you know what I mean, thing. And so even though I have some musical experience and I know what I want, you know, I didn't know how exactly to fit it all in context.
Wait, how did you go working with Sony to find the producers that worked on the EP? Like, what did you look for?
Look, I went through quite a few guys in Sydney, and I was looking for a lot of different people, doing things over at Sony with instrumentalists and whatnot. And eventually I found Louis Skrull, who actually wrote and did all of the music with me. So it was just me and him. And at the end of the day, what kind of made me comfortable with him is he just kind of let me write the lyrics, write all the music. If I wanted this synth, like, you know, and I wanted these drums like this, and I wanted this like this, and he was just kind of down to like play and just to come into this, you know, sound palette and this world with me. And a lot of people weren't, because they instantly thought when I came to them, oh, classical singer, you know, it's gonna be crossover, or I would never put an urban beat behind that voice or something like that. So I really needed someone that was willing to go on a journey vocally with me, which is a lot more difficult than you'd ever think.
Thank
it
you
is.
For joining us today.
Thanks for having me here.
It's been great playing a few of your tunes, 3 so far. The EP's been out for a few months.
Yeah, a couple months.
And it's got one more single off it, which we will finish the interview with very soon. But let's talk about maybe what's happening otherwise, music-wise. Now, I know that you write with lots of different people. I mean, you said that you've written with John Foreman in the past.
I've written with John Foreman. I mean, honestly, to do this EP, there's probably 2 albums that were written before this that represent a lot of different work. And I think some of this music I'm going to bring back. So next year, everyone can kind of look forward to something kind of different than this EP. But in the meantime, there's going to be some stuff that kind of like ramps up this EP a little bit more to a different level before we kind of...
You mean some new mixes and some new videos?
Yeah, that's the plan. Okay. You know, basically, look, with this EP, I didn't know really what to say. When it was more about me, you know, it was very, very personal, like, so people could get to know me a little bit, so that I could feel like, you know, people actually understood who I was and what I was doing now. But now that I kind of have this body of work out here, now, you know, the sky's the limit, so to speak. So I can actually start to play and have fun and say something.
Mm-hmm. Like, all right.
If that makes sense, like,
what do you say?
I've got an idea because, you know, I'm this You've is why I, this is why I'm a volunteer music director, because I'm really good at this stuff.
The ideas, man.
No, it's I've got an idea. Now I know that you know Marsha Hines. Mm. In fact, she helped you sort of get started. Over here in Australia. Marsha's been looking for a new opportunity for I know she wants to do a new disco song.
Mm.
I think a disco duet, Marsha and Bielfield.
I said, do it.
He's looking at his manager.
I'm looking at my manager back here. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I mean. Marsha is amazing. I mean, she's a powerhouse. Like, and I have actually done a song that was kind of like funky kind of with her. And honestly, it's really good. But I think you're right. Like, I think that that's definitely something that I've been thinking about. And I hope that that one day we get the chance to do that. You know, she's doing Velvet right now and everything.
Yes, she is,
so it'll have to be, you know, after she kind of finishes up her.
Well, she's doing a one-off Melbourne show next Friday week, the 28th, and that's a, you know, Disco Inferno show. So, she loves her disco. We love Marsha disco.
Look, the thing about Marsha that's so amazing is in real life, she can sing, like, amazingly, and she looks spectacular, too. So that's really the thing that made me want to have her help me, you know, especially, like, in the beginning of it when it was embryonic, you know, it was like, you are this like pop thing that I feel like I could be over here, how do I get there?
If this happens, I'm claiming it, all right?
okay, fair enough.
You're taking a 20%.
Then it better be on rotation every 5 minutes here, okay?
What else can we expect in the next few months for you? Are you going to do any more shows? Is it all writing and studio work?
Well, you know, okay, I'm going to be over in the Middle East, actually, for New Year's. I'm doing some performances over there. So I'm kind of trying to track out a little bit to make sure that it stays international. Because that was the whole point of it. You know, it's like it was Australian music, a very strange scenario, you know, so to speak. But, that everyone kind of got a chance to actually hear this music. So I'll be branching out. And in the new year, there will be a lot of new kind of stuff that starts coming on board with this project. So
fantastic.
It will take shape. So, I hope everybody likes it.
Do we get to keep you? Are you in Sydney?
Oh, yeah.
For a while?
Yeah. I'm going to be in Sydney. This is my home now.
That's always good to hear.
Yeah,
we're like, I'm not going.
It's a pity.
I'm not going anywhere.
But
no. Sydney's amazing. It's amazing. Like the lifestyle here in Australia is so easy. I have to say, like I wanted to leave New York for so long, and finally I got this opportunity to leave New York.
Although I did suspect, I saw you tweet this morning, and I thought maybe you were preparing for the bigger bear community of Melbourne because the facial hair, you've got the beard going at the moment. So it's
cub or otter?
Well, no, it is not that much, okay? It was like a week ago, and I took out the shears. I literally went to Woolies, and I was like, bought these shears, and I was like, this is coming off. I'm not an otter, and someone called me an otter or something, and I was like, no, never again.
All right, so it wasn't specifically crowd that the beard came on?
No. But look, I think, I don't know, I'm liking the facial hair. I'm digging it right now, and I think, I think that the music, you know, is going to ultimately, like, serve that a little bit, for a little bit. So, well,
I mean, I think I've pointed out on numerous occasions, you're a man with perfect skin and perfect hair. Now it looks like you're going to do the perfect beard as well.
I'm blushing.
And, well, you know, we can all admire a man with good hair.
Is that a Donald Trump reference right there?
No, this is genuine. Compliment, good hair.
Not
love
a
man with good hair. So,
thank you.
I'm a child of the 80s. I love good hair.
Okay. The careless whisper. Yeah, that's true.
All right. It's been lovely having you with us today.
It's been awesome being with you.
It's been a great little adventure. Good luck with the new music.
Thank you so much.
We are looking forward to lots of new music coming out of you and being able to continue to claim you as Australian for as long as it takes to make you as big as Kylie. How's
awesome.
That?
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take that.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.